And today, I want to speak specifically. I gave Marilyn a little bit of a story this morning because, you know, in the last couple of weeks, there's been some things that God has, well, the last couple of months, some things that the Lord has been dealing with me about that I said, Lord, how come I have to preach that? Why won't you let me preach all of this other stuff, you know? And so I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning writing down what I wanted to preach. So I thought I would write up this wonderful sermon that I wanted to preach because I felt like, well, nobody knows, Lord, that I really probably could preach a real happy message. So I want to preach this happy message, so I'm going to write it all out. I was up till 3 o'clock this morning, and my printer wouldn't print. So then I said, well, I'm going to send it through my email. And I sent it through the email, and I got here, and the printer downstairs wouldn't print it. So being the tired person I am, that's why I bought my blanket, I said, okay, Lord, what do you want? And he said, I want you to do what I said. And so I said, okay. Okay, especially since I can't print it out and I'm not that good at memorizing so many things anymore. Okay. But sometimes we go through little things in our lives where it seems like, God, you've spoken this to me before the event happened. Well, before Pastor Lanny had someone call me to ask me to speak, the Lord had given me a message. And I had written the message down, and I had prayed about the message, and I kept saying, Lord, is this what you really want me to speak on? And the Lord kept saying, yes. So then, shortly after that, an event happened. And then since then, many people have come to me with other things to pray for. I'm reminded of something very quickly that happened on the news the other day. I have family in Missouri, and one of the things that was shown on the media was a family coming from under the ruins after the tornado in Joplin. And they had been in an underground shelter in a place of refuge. And before I pray, I want to read just some of the answers to her interview. They were asked a key question. When did you go into the underground shelter? Her response is, as soon as the sky started to look strange. And she said, he asked, did the children become afraid? And she said, no, because we go in there often so that they will not be afraid. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. I thank you for being the King of Kings and the Lord of everything. Lord, I ask that today you would be with us, that we can hear your word and know that you are our refuge. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought about the answers to her questions. And my question to you is, when do you take refuge? When do you take refuge? She said she took refuge when the sky began to turn dark. She didn't wait for the sound. She didn't wait for the siren to go off. But she took it when it got dark, when she could see the sky changing. Then they asked her a question about her children being afraid. But she said her children were not afraid because they had gone there often. Well, I came to tell you today that I won't be before you long because I have a message that I can preach pretty quick today. So you can be out on the beach or at your house in a few minutes. I came to tell you today, I want to ask you this question. When do you take refuge? My second question that I want to ask you is, how often do you go there? Do you know how to get there? And do you take your family there? She took her children there often. I thought about all of the things that this mother said. And then I went back in my mind when I was a child. And I was in Sunday school. You see, a church van picked me up. And when they picked me up, all of us kids loaded loaded up on this van, and we were going to church. We screamed, we hollered, we laughed, we talked, we did all kinds of wild things getting on this van, and we went to church. I'm not so sure the church was ready for us, but we were ready for the church. And so when we got off this van, we were screaming and yelling, but there was someone that was standing there, a little lady, Sister Hamilton, and she began right at the beginning going, shh, 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 all of you children gather. And as we gathered, she would stop us and just pray. Just pray. Father, calm these children. Calm them from everything that they have gone through, Father. Because you know what? Sometimes we just think people are loud. And we just think children are disruptive. But sometimes they're coming from those type of places. And they're bringing it wherever they go. And she said, shh. And she prayed for us. And we would walk into the house of the Lord. And when we got there, the praise and worship would be high and everything would be going on. And we just silenced. Now, not all of us are in the church today. But it had an effect on my life that I came to the Lord at an early age. Because she was willing to be there to pick us up, to make sure that everything was going well, and get us to the house of the Lord. And we were so loud. All I can remember is there were days I'd hold my own ears. And she would get us to the house of the Lord. And there was one way that she always ended her prayer. She says, Father, let them know they can come because they are in the house of refuge. Everything that they left behind, Father, is over. Everything, every chaos that they walked out of has ended. Because they've just entered the house of refuge. You know, I think about that. And it was because of her that I started memorizing scriptures. And she didn't pay us. And it was because of her that I began to seek the face of the Lord. It was because of her and other people that came and walked alongside to teach me to pray. It was because of her and then later people that challenged us like Dave Wilkerson to become prayer warriors, to have a prayer closet. It was because of all of these different people that I drew in and I nestled into God. Since then, I have needed a place of refuge. You know, it's easy to talk. It's easy to testify. It's easy to say that if I go through something, I want to be planted at the house of the Lord. I remember testifying and preaching that no matter what I go through, you found me at the house of the Lord, dropped me off at the house of the Lord. Well, I was dropped off at the house of the Lord. In the midst of a divorce, it didn't feel so good. But the one thing that was ringing inside of me was the fact that I knew him as a refuge, a hiding place. Psalm 62, 7 and 8 says, in God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. One of the ladies in church would say, come running. Come running to the mercy seat. And hurry up and get there. Why? Because he's a refuge, a fortress, a mighty God. Psalms 91 and 9 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. This week, we've had a challenge. I heard a testimony from one of the senators a couple of weeks ago. And as my son has gotten older, we are working on scripture. We've been working on it for a long time. And it was easier when he was little. And now that he's getting older, it became a bigger challenge to help him out with scripture. Well, I heard this senator say, and I'm sorry, not a senator, but a chaplain that's in D.C. His name escapes me. But I heard him say recently that his mother challenged them by paying them to do scripture, to memorize scripture. But that wasn't the part of the testimony that struck me. He said that there was about 10 years that he fluttered. But after those 10 years, throughout those whole 10 years, he said every scripture that he had, that his mother had him memorize, kept coming back to him. And he said that it would give him strength. So I said, okay, Lord, the challenge is on. So I went to Wilson and I said, okay, Wilson. I said, remember that scripture I gave you like 2 months ago when you didn't memorize it? He said, yes. I said, I'll give you $5. $5, because you know a dollar, it's nothing for a kid. You know, they can't even buy a good piece of bubble gum. So I said, I'll give you $5. But we're not going to memorize one verse, son. We're going to memorize like all of Psalms 91, the whole thing, and not $5 per verse, just Psalms 91. It was amazing how quickly he memorized Psalms 91. I went in his room, and there's this blackboard that he's had for years. All of Psalms 91 was written so neatly and so small across there. And so he says, Mom, before I go to Dad's, can I say Psalms 91? I said, sure. He did. I said, Son, we're going to Psalms 150. Because if you can memorize Psalms 91, you can go for the big boys. And it was just so amazing. I'm going to give him his money because it's worth it to me. What is $5 when my son gets in the barrel of hell and needs help when he can recall Psalms 91? Oh, it's nothing. I'm giving him his $5 because I want him to know the word. And so he says, okay, so he left with Psalms 150 and off into the sunset he goes. He says, I'll know it when I get back. I said, good job. What is it that we're after? What is it that I'm after? I'm after getting the word in him. I want the word to be in him because he's going to need it. Psalms 46 and 1 declares, God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. 2 Samuel 22 and 3, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior, and you save me from violence. He is my refuge. I have run and I have wrapped him. Tell you something. When I think about running to God and I think about him being my refuge, you need to know and understand that you can run to God and you can just fall in him. Make it a habit, get in his presence and go to him. I'm so excited about the theme about connecting with God because you know many people run in trouble and they're not sure of the direction. But if you go to him before the trouble starts, my God, he will wrap himself up in you. You can wrap yourself up. When I get there, Psalms 34 and 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a familiar place you can kind of get in God. You ever been there? that place where you can just hear him talking to you and you can just feel the love of God flowing all over you. I call it the familiar place, the place that I just kind of nestle up and I say, oh God, I see that you have my tears that I shed the last time. I hear your voice, Father, from the last thing that you said to me. God, I know you are with me because I feel your arms wrapped all around me. I go to a place. I run to the rock of my salvation. A house of refuge. A place of safety. Some of you are going through some things and you're trying to figure out where to run. A young couple came into the daycare the other day. And did I ever feel sad for them? They came to the daycare expecting to put their baby in the daycare. And so they came and they had filled out everything and they were expecting that, but they were depending upon an outside source to pay for it. And the gentleman came back to me, a very young couple, and he said, there are no more vouchers. They have run out of vouchers. And there is no way to pay for the daycare. And he was leaving out the door, and I have seen a woman cry. And I've seen men cry in church, but he was leaving out the door, and he was crying. And I stopped him at the door, and I prayed, and I just asked the Lord to make provisions for this baby and to open up the door and to do whatever needs to be done. But I have to tell you something. He looked at me and he said, I don't know what to do or where to go. And he left. And when I was sitting at my desk, I just thought, you know, Lord, I am so glad that I have the answer to that. I'm so glad that I know where to go. I have been in situations where there was no food on the table. I have been in situations where there was no table for the food. I have been in situations where I have slept out in a car. But because my God loved me so much, I did not run to social services. I did not run to other things. And there's nothing wrong with running to those places. I ran to the rock that was higher than I. And he provided. He provided. He has never left me hopeless. Because in my hopeless situation, he's always supplied. I talked to one of my friends, and she said in Charles County, they stopped vouchers in March. Do you know how many families that's going to affect? That's going to affect thousands of children. Because in Charles County alone, when I was directing, more than half of my children were coming through voucher programs. These programs are running out of money. Some because of abuse, and some because it's just running out. And I'm telling you that we are going to have an answer for people. What is the answer? Who is the refuge? Who is the fortress? Who is the mighty God? Our God is. And we have to stop looking hopeless and have a hope. I could testify to the fact that when I didn't know where my meal was coming from, my God did. When I moved down here, and my sister is here, when I moved down here, I didn't know what I was going to do, but God had a plan. And I was just like, I'm coming. I'm coming. I packed up and I moved. God said, do it, and he didn't let my feet touch the ground. I was scared to death. One of the biggest things that Satan plagued me with was, you'll be homeless again. This time you'll have Wilson with you. And the Lord said, no, not so. I'm better than that. I'll take care of you. And he did. Psalms 59 and 16 said, but as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall sing joyfully of your loving kindness in the morning. So it looks dark right now. So it looks grim right now. So it looks like you are not going to make it, or someone you know is not going to make it. And kindness can come in the morning and change the situation. For you have been a stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. Ever hang from a cliff? God is there. Didn't know what you were going to do? God is there. I love Psalms 118 and 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Been promised anything and it fell through? The Lord doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than in prince. You mean even in royalty? I need to trust God more? Yes. We could take refuge in him. I want to give you four facts in taking refuge, and they came from what the interview said about the mother. Number one, you want to know how to get to refuge. You know, the thing about it is, if you are always trying to figure out when and how to connect with God, you're never going to connect. It's time to be connected. Some of you have been holding out for something, but you need to be connected to God. It's time to walk in relationship with him. Let me encourage you that it's time to tuck yourself into God, to nestle into his presence and to nestle into his power and to say, you are my Father and I need you. I want you. Come into my life. Live in me. Be in complete control of my life. Speak to me. Tell me what to do. Tell me how and what. But God, be in control of my life. It's funny, we put a lot of things in control of our lives. And you would say you don't. But in the past, and sometimes even in the present, you put drugs in charge of your life. You put a man or a woman in charge of your life. You have put bills or success in charge of your life. Put Jesus in charge of your life. Take refuge in Jesus. Connect with him. The second statement, as she said, they went there often to take away fear. Sometimes we're just plain old down to earth scared. I want to encourage you, go see and talk with Jesus often to take away fear. In the old church, growing up in the tradition, one of the things we heard was the idea of hell so much that honestly and truly, I wasn't so sure that God was all that loving. I had this picture for years in my mind of this black whip, and every time I got out of line, he was ready. That mean? Because of the way they describe things. But then I fell into the arms of a loving God, and the fear was taken away. And I began to embrace his love and find out how much he loves us, that he loves us so much that the hairs on my head are counted, that he would collect my tears. Oh my goodness, what love. And so you need to go to take away fear. My sister says something all the time. When I talk to her, when we're laughing and talking, she says, Daddy has me. That confidence of knowing that Daddy has me. Who is Daddy? Jesus. He has you. What is it that you're afraid of? Your Daddy has you. Today, he's walking with you. He's with you. He sees everything that's going to happen. He knows what's threatening your life before you know. Your daddy has you. Go to the house of refuge. Go to Jesus. Wrap yourself in him because he has you. Your daddy has you. To gain confidence is another reason why you want to go to the familiar place. To hear him speak to you, another reason why you want to go to the familiar place. And number three, you want to take your family. You want to take your family. You know, children get a certain age and it's hard to get them out to the church. It's hard to bring them because of activities, because of all types of things. But you need to begin to take your family in any form that you can. What do I mean by that? In your home, pray with them. Pray with them before they go out the door. Talk to them. Take them in the presence of God. Remind them of how good God was to them when they were little. One of the things I do, I have in my briefcase a little booklet because Wilson was he almost died when he was a baby. We drove from Ohio, where we adopted him, back to Maryland. And when we got here, before we left, I said something to the doctor. I said, his navel looks really funny. I said, it looks like there is just something going on. And they told us it was fine, and he said, it's fine. The further we stopped in Ohio, we got caught in a massive snowstorm. So we drove far enough away from the hospital and everyone, because you have this fear that somebody's coming to get your baby. So we drove as far as we could, and then we stopped and went in a hotel. When we got to the hotel, he cried and he cried and he cried. And I looked at the navel again, and by this time, it was red, and there was all types of stuff coming out of it. So we debated with, do we go back to the hospital, or do we continue the path and get him home and take him to the hospital? Well, we drove to Maryland. We got to Maryland, and he would not stop crying. So we had already set up a doctor for him. We got him to the doctor, and the doctor looked at it, put some different things there, and said, he'll be okay. So there again, we have he'll be okay. The middle of the night, he woke up. He was screaming and screaming. We left. We got back to the hospital. They took one look at it and medevaxed him to Children's Hospital. There he was in the hospital for 10 days. It was infected, and the infection was going through his whole stream, his whole body. And we saw him, and when we went in to see him, he was hooked up, and I have pictures of it, and he was doing like this. And we were just looking at him, and I was thinking, Father, I know. I felt like the woman that had prayed for a child, because I had prayed 16 years. And then all of a sudden, this child, you get this child, and the child dies. And I said, Father, not so. You did not give me this baby for this baby to die. And like that woman, she went to the man of God. I went to the house of refuge. And I began to tuck myself into God. They said, there's a chapel down the hallway. I went down the hallway, and I got into the chapel, and I said, Father, you did not give me this baby for this baby to die. You did not allow this. So, Father, I am just going to stay here until the good news comes. And I stretched out on the floor, and I just prayed, and I sought the face of the Lord. And every morning I'd get up, and I'd go back in there and go get cleaned up and come back in and go back to prayer. And on the 10th day, they came out, and they said, all of the infection is gone. My God worked a miracle. Of course, there were other things entangled in it, because Wilson's birth mom was a drug addict and she was an alcoholic. So he had all kinds of things going on in the midst of that illness. But God said, not so. They gave us a list of things. I kept the list because I wanted Wilson to have the list when he gets much, much older. And on the list, it said he will have learning disabilities. On the list, it said that he probably will not speak properly because of the different things that had happened. And because of the alcohol, and because of the drugs that were still found in his system. People ask me on oftentimes, they say, Robin, you're so strong about certain things. I have seen God work a massive miracle. The very first test Wilson took, and my sister knows about this, the IQ was so low. And I told Marilyn, I took it. And I just grabbed it. I grabbed the paper. They gave it to us. I grabbed the paper. I fold the paper up. I went to see the principal. I said, can IQs be stretched? They said, no, your IQ is what it is. I said, okay, thank you. I fold the paper up. I put the paper away. And I took it, and I'm a little strange. It's okay. You can call me that. But I took the paper, and I have a rug by my bed, and I put it up under the rug, and I said, okay, Father, I'm going to pray over this, and I believe that you are going to change this. In the last several years, I have gone back to look at that IQ, and my son's IQ has jumped 50%. And they said that your IQ will never change. This marking period, and ever since last year, A and B, the first marking period last year, straight A's since then. My God is faithful. This is not a brag on Wilson session. This is a brag on my God session. Because my God is a refuge. I don't have any sense but to run to the house of refuge in the midst of trouble. Where are you running? Where are you running? I challenge you today, bring it to Jesus. He wants it all. Whatever unexplainable thing has happened, good things, bad things happen to good people. And let me tell you something, we are not exempted. Things happen to us. But I run. I run to safety. I have a safe place. A place where my God is with me. Stand to your feet. Take your family on the pilgrimage. Psalms 46 and 1. I want to read this for the last time. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be counted out. So it didn't work out the way you thought the first time. I've prayed for things. I've prayed for people and they passed away. My cousin needed a lung transplant. We prayed, we fasted, and she passed away. But there was something that happened after that, that God began to show me how miraculous he really is. Her husband was not a believer. But because our family was a family of believers, her husband is now a believer. I don't know why it took her passing to bring him in. There are some times we're going to pray, but when do you stop believing? When? You just keep believing. And then that's when you recognize that God has another plan. I hold on to his unchanging hand. I hold on to his plan. Tuck yourself in him. Lord, as my sister that has been crying through the sermon, Father, whatever it is, Lord, put your arms around her. Secure her. Hold fast to her. If you're here, I'd like to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to come down. Whatever it is, come down. If you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I'd like to pray with you. Come down. Right now, you allow the Lord to do the thing that he needs to do in your life. Come into the presence of the Lord. We want to pray with you. Amen. Brother Michael, thank you. He's here today. He's here. And you've been holding on to some things and worrying about some things and doing all kinds of things. But today, the Lord has it. Run to the refuge. Not me. Wrap yourself in him. Jesus. He has you. God, we thank you for all things. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for your love, Father. I pray today, Father, that you would move in everyone's heart and home and work a miracle for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for this house of refuge. Thank you, Lord, for what this church has stood for and the integrity of this church. And Lord, you have even more integrity. Meet everyone at their need. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to be lingering at the altar for a little bit. If you need to do business with God, we invite you to do that. Otherwise, we encourage you to go out into the lobby, move to the left, around the other side, get ready for your connection groups. We'll reconvene in about 15 minutes.